Well, this Sunday, as I was looking at our text, the thing that struck me was change. And our texts, all in one way or another, the three that Bill read for us, and even to a certain extent our psalm reading, talk about change. And that's where the sermon title came from. And it's a question, it's a rhetorical question, of course, it's almost a plea. Why can't things stay the same? Very few of us like change. I know there are some people who do. There are some people that think doing the same thing 2 days in a row is a rut and it drives them crazy. But they're very few and far between. Most of us don't like change. I, for one, most certainly do not. Considering how, ridiculously progressive some people think I am, when it comes to a lot of things, I am a very small c. Conservative. The idea of changing things simply for the sake of change, the changing something just because it's been this way for a long time, I find kind of weird. I look at that whole idea of, we've done it this way for a long time, to me says, well, it probably works then. Why would we want to change it? And it's not that I'm opposed to changing things. Obviously, I change when I need to, but it takes a bit of convincing for me. And I think that's the case for most of us. It's just most of us have a, if change is a continuum or the desire for change with change is great to change is terrible, most of us are somewhere in the middle. And it depends on what kinds of things we're looking at changing. And when we look at our texts to get some idea of what change might look like, we'll start with our Old Testament. And this is a very well-known story for us. There's all kinds of good things in it. There's different ways we can look at it. And the thing that struck me this time around in this liturgical year was change. Because this is a story about change as well as a lot of other things. And it's a change in leadership. At this point, Eli had been the priest of Israel for a long time. And Eli, in and of himself, as priest, was obviously at least okay. The difficulty was that the priesthood tended to go from father to son, and Eli's sons were terrible. We see in other places exactly how bad they were. They took advantage of their role and their authority in ways that were really not good. In the text that Bill read for us in verse 13, depending on which translation you used, the New Revised Standard Version says, "For I've told him that I'm about to punish his house forever," that's Eli, "for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God, the children of priests, blaspheming God, and he did not restrain them." And so, what God announces, among other things, is a change of leadership. That it's going to go from Eli, who had been doing at least an adequate job up to this point, to someone new. And it's obvious, I suspect, that Eli, even though he said, oh, let God do what God is going to do, at least at some part of Eli's inner world, I think, he must have said, really? Why do we have to change? Why can't things stay the same? Why can't I just get better at what I'm doing? Well, that isn't the way it worked. There needed to be some change there, and it took some learning because it wasn't an easy transition. Eli had to learn in a way that he had been. Well, he'd been supplanted. He'd been given warnings and he didn't take them. And Samuel had to learn that he was now hearing God in a way that he never had before. Well, I think it's obvious that there would have been some fear involved on Eli's part, but I wonder if there might have been some on Samuel's. Even though Samuel knew that God was now communicating with him directly in a way that was new and had never happened before, we don't know exactly how old Samuel was at this point, but he was probably in his early teens. Certainly not an infant anymore, but not a grown man. But I wonder if he was a little afraid of that. And he looked at what had happened to Eli and he thought, if Eli couldn't make this work, how can I? And I wonder if at least at some level, Samuel didn't say, why can't things stay the same? When we look at our epistle lesson and we see Paul talking about what's going on, there's a lot of things in there that we can talk about and we can look in different ways. But the thing that caught my eye was what Paul is telling people is we need to change how we think. Right from the very beginning, he says, all things are lawful for me. Okay, if we sort of put the period there, put a full stop there, then we have this feeling we could do anything we want. But he goes on and says, but not all things are beneficial. And what Paul is addressing here is this new understanding of grace, this new understanding of that was beginning to grow in the followers of Jesus, where people had begun to understand that Jesus coming had changed things forever, and that the grace of God, that unmerited favor of God directed towards people, was limitless. And it's not surprising then that some people would draw the conclusion that if the grace of God is limitless, if we can be forgiven anything, then we can do anything. And in one very, very, very tiny sense, we can. But Paul says, but not everything that we can do is good for us. Not everything's beneficial. Lots of things that we can do, we should not. And he goes on to have a list of these things and talks about some of them. He's talking to the church in Corinth. So the sexual immorality was a big thing there. And so that's what he addresses. And so we look at this and think, well, that's not us. That's got nothing to do with us. The principles do. The realization that simply because we can do something doesn't mean that we should do something and doesn't mean that what we can do is good for us. We need to change how we think. It would be nice if things could stay the same. Why do things have to change? Well, they have to change because we've learned more. We understand more. We go from not understanding anything about grace to this explosion of the wondrous knowledge that God's grace is limitless, that God's grace is for everyone, everywhere. That's a great piece of knowledge. We have to have that first, but then we need to add the next that says, just because you can doesn't mean you should. Anyone who's had children, whether they were your own or you had some care of children, has known that at some point your kids will, that you're in care of, at some point will begin to realize they can do things and you have to help them realize that they should. They can color on paper, but they also can color on the wall. They should not color on the wall. Maybe your house was different, but in our house, they should not color on the wall. And yet they did. We needed to help them realize that just because you can do a thing doesn't mean that you should, because we need limits for all kinds of reasons, not least of which, when you color on the wall, it makes your parents' blood pressure go up and makes their faces turn red, and then they have to do lots of work. And if they are working hard at being good parents, they won't yell at you, but they'll want to. And you shouldn't do that to them. Okay, I didn't put it in those terms to my kids when they were little. We just talked about how that this isn't a place where coloring happens. Yes, you can. You can write your name on that wall right there, but you shouldn't. You should write your name on this piece of paper, and then we can give it to a grandparent, or we can put it on the fridge. We can still do lots of things, but we can't do everything. And as I was looking at our gospel lesson, I found it, I was wondering, does this fit also? And I realized that there's some very interesting things about change in this passage as well. First of all, when we read back into it, those of us who are aware, and I think that probably includes most of us, we know that Jesus didn't just call Philip. He called a bunch of other people. And he called them not just because he was saying hello. He called his first followers, those disciples, at the 12. He called them to change lives, and not just in this internal sense where they now understand God better. He called them to go from being people who fished to people who followed Jesus. That's what they did. They changed everything about their lives, their occupations, where they lived, how they behaved, who they talked to, because for some of these, for the first time ever, it was with Jesus that they talked to people who weren't also observant Jews as themselves. They talked to Samaritans. They talked to people that they had formerly despised. We see it in a very small way with Nathanael. I love that part, verse 46. Philip comes to Nathanael and says, "Hey, we found the guy that Moses talked about in the law. Jesus, son of Joseph from Nazareth." And Nathanael says, "What? Nazareth? Nazareth's a hole. Nothing good ever came out of Nazareth. It's a dump. It's a slum. It's the wrong side of the sticks. The wrong kind of people live there. We don't like them." Nathanael had to change how he viewed people. I don't think it's reading too much into this to say that what this passage tells us is that looking at people from the perspective of if they're from this place, therefore they are valueless, is wrong. If Nathanael would have lived out this idea that nothing good came from Nazareth, he would have missed the opportunity to be in direct contact with Messiah for a long period of time, learning things about God he couldn't have learned any other way. But he couldn't do it until he changed his view of what good could come out of Nazareth. As it turned out, the ultimate good came out of Nazareth. Nathanael eventually figured that out. Are we called to change? What's our answer when we ask ourselves, why can't things stay the same? We want things to stay the same. There is comfort in routine and in knowing what's coming next. And there is nothing wrong with enjoying that comfort, with having that reassurance that this morning I woke up and I did these things to get ready for the day, and tomorrow I'll do the same. And it provides a framework that many of us need to be healthy and happy. But sometimes we need to change. When we look at these passages of Scripture, what do we see that is behind the change? We see God. We see God calling for change for the better. This isn't change for the sake of change. This isn't changing what we're doing, what we think, what we believe, because we've done, thought, and believed it for a long time. This is changing so that we might be better, because that's where change matters. We change our behavior because the old behavior wasn't as good for us as the new behavior is. When we're in our late teens and early 20s, we can stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, get 2 hours of sleep, and go to work and be productive all day. We actually can. I can't do that at 58. I couldn't do that at 40. I changed. It didn't mean that I'd somehow turned my back on who I was. It was dealing with the fundamental reality of a changed physiology. And if we can do that with what our bodies do, can we not do that with how we think? There was a time when we as Presbyterians said the thought of ordaining a woman was loony. No one would do that. And we even had reasons for it, but we changed. And that change brought about all kinds of wonderful things, not least of which is having God's perfect servant, Amanda Curry, to be the moderator of General Assembly, because as an ordained minister, she had moved in the circles where people could see what she could do. And she is the first moderator of General Assembly in Canada to serve 2 consecutive terms because of a pandemic. And her leadership took us through this in a way that I think was as good as it could be. But we couldn't have got there if we wouldn't have changed. Change is scary sometimes, and we want to stay the same. In the 60s, when people were looking at ordaining women, they had reasons why that made them afraid. But boldness took them past the fear. and they listened to God, and now we see the fruit that that bears. As a denomination, we're being called to new things, and as individual people, we're being called to new things. We changed our behavior about how we went shopping. We reduced the number of people we went with. We wear masks, we use hand sanitizer, we wash our hands more often. We've changed all of these things, most of which are trivial, but still inconvenient. And we changed them because that was the best thing to do. I don't know what you may be called to change. Quite possibly nothing. There's no guarantee that we have to change who we are or what we think. But when we're called to change, and when we ask ourselves or when we ask God, why can't things stay the same? We need to be ready to hear the answer that the new is better than the old. The new does good things in the way that the old cannot. As we move as a denomination to becoming more inclusive of Indigenous people, of the LGBTQ community, of all of these groups that we have struggled with, how do we integrate them into our faith communities? It's not easy, but we need to be open to the possibility that God is calling us to these changes, and that because of them, we'll be even better than we are now. I don't like change. I don't like it at all. But when I've been called by God to change, and I have, I've never regretted it. Oh, it was a bit of a transition. It always is. But I have never regretted becoming the person that God called me to be. The fact that it hasn't been easy hasn't changed the reality that says, if I do what God is calling me to do, difficult or easy as it might be, the me on the other side, the me on the other side of a pandemic, of stress leave, of difficulties of lots of different kinds, is a better me than the one that was here a year ago or 10 years ago. Why do things have to change? Why can't things stay the same? Because to get better, sometimes we just need to change. If God is calling you to a change of thinking or doing, whatever it might be bold as you listen to a God who loves you more than you'll even know. A God who wants you to be the very best you can possibly be. So you can be the person who will create the change in others that only you can do. To bring about a world that is closer to what God intended it to be. Amen.